Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Del Tackett. Am I pronouncing everything correctly?
That is correct.
And we're going to talk about his documentary, Is Genesis History? But first I want to tell you about him. He is the former president of Focus on the Family Institute and a former senior vice president of Focus on the Family. He created Focus on the Family's The Truth Project, which is a nationwide wide project to bring the Christian worldview to the body of Christ. That is an ongoing task. Dr. Tackett served more than 20 years in the U.S. Air Force and was appointed by President George H.W. Bush as the Director of Technical Planning for the National Security Council. Tackett's degrees are from Colorado Technical University, a D-Min, Auburn University, a master's, and Kansas State University, a bachelor's. His many published works include pieces on worldview and culture issues. He's a popular conference speaker. Tackett speaks on topics such as American Christian heritage, Christian worldview, technical subjects, and management. And you're currently preparing to launch The Engagement, which is a follow-up to The Truth Project, and cross-examine. So
yes,
we can kind of get the theme here.
Yeah.
And what a great theme it is. But today we're going to start out by talking about Is Genesis History. So how did you happen to come to do that project?
Well, the whole thing really began as a result of a conversation that Thomas Purifoy, the head of Compass Cinema, had with his 10-year-old daughter. And in that conversation was primarily about science and Genesis and all the things that end up being confusing between those two. And Thomas realized that we really, by now, should have presented a positive case for creation. And so he and I knew each other. He gave me a call. We started talking about this. And the next thing we know, we were making a film called Is Genesis History?
And Is Genesis History, it's asking the question, is it really true that creation happened over 6 days, or did it happen over a long period of time? You know, all the different versions that have come up.
That's correct. It's a look at the evidence as we talk to scientists in all different situations. We go to Mount St. Helens, we go to the Grand Canyon, we scuba dive in St. Thomas. We're at the Memphis Zoo. I mean, we're looking at soft dinosaur tissue with other scientists, geologists, paleontologists, astronomers, and we're trying to help people see that there are credible scientists who have credible evidence that they believe supports the historical reading of Genesis, that what God gave to us is really what happened.
So I want to congratulate you. I had interviewed you when this was first coming out, but it's like it's made a resurgence.
Well, you know what happened? It really surprised a lot of people, because I think most people were thinking, well, you know, this is a film by these creationists kind of a thing, and nobody really is going to come out. Well, what happened was that it was the largest grossing film that night of its release. There were theaters. There was a theater just west of us here in Nashville that had 8 screens. It sold out the first screen, the second screen. It ended up being the only thing it showed that night and still had people wanting to get in. So they had an encore a week later, and then they had another encore a week later, and then last Thursday they had an anniversary encore, which they've never done before.
Yes.
Fathom's never done that before. So it showed, I think, that there is a great number of people that have this desire to read the scriptures in the way that it appears God meant for them to be read, and not being told by people up in some hierarchy somewhere that says, no, you have to read it as a myth or a metaphor.
Yeah, it's almost as if there is a God-given desire for proof that the Bible is authentic, that it's true, that we can bank on something.
Yes, yes.
Because it's times are tenuous.
Well, they really are. And so a lot of people know that for years and years, the history of the Bible was assailed by science. So that there really was never a King David. The Jews were never in Egypt. They never migrated. There was never this guy or that guy. And time after time, all of a sudden, we have these archaeological discoveries mm-hmm. that say all of this has proven that the Bible gets its history correct. And we believe that it got its history correct in Genesis 1 through 11 as well.
Yeah, it's correct from the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
And I love that too, because our young people in school and in public secular education are being assailed with evolution, and that's its religion.
It is, because it does not really have the evidence that they purport that it has. And the reason why I think it's proper to label that way is because what evolution does is it gives us a theology, which is mm-hmm. atheistic, atheology. It gives us an anthropology, which says man is not created in the image of God, that man is an evolved creature, and so therefore we get the, you know, a rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy. Mm-hmm. It tells us that marriage then has no divine genesis to it, that we can make it up as we want, that male and female is not a divine creation. And so as a worldview teacher, the whole foundation of our worldview rests upon what we find there in the very beginning of Genesis. Nothing makes sense except in the light of Genesis.
Now, as you were doing the research and going and visiting with all these scientists, did it change you in any way?
Well, I think it reassured me again. God has not left us without evidence. The same way that the Spirit of God was moving Paul to write in Romans 1, that the creation around us is so plain that it points us to even the invisible attributes of God. His eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen, is what it says, so that we're without excuse. That's how plain it is. And one of the things that happened is we met with these scientists and talked with them and saw that evidence. I was again struck by how plain this is. This is not something that you have to have a PhD in order to see. This is the material that's plain to us. Even now that we look at the microbiology, the world that is microscopic to us, and we're discovering these amazing little machines inside the living cell.
Yeah.
They function in this perfect role, but they have a function that joins up with other machines that are doing things together. And it should be plain when you see that to say that this could not have come about as a result of random processes. It's impossible.
Yeah, in fact, do you think Darwin would have dared develop his theory of evolution if he were alive today?
No, I think Darwin would have rejected it, because he gave us several criteria by which you could reject. He told us, he said, you can reject my theory if this ever happens, if you ever find this. And one of them was, he said, if we find that none of this, life in particular, could have arisen by slow, gradual processes, he said, then you can rightly reject my theory. Well, to him, the cell was a black box. That's
yes.
what Dr. Michael Behe wrote his book,
yes.
The Black Box, because to Darwin it was. He didn't know. He didn't understand those things.
Mm-hmm.
To him, it was just, well, you know, it's there. But now we find, guess what? It could not have happened by slow, successive changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Darwin is basically speaking to us from the 1800s saying, you can reject my theory, but we don't, because you're right. It's a philosophy. It's become almost religious to hang on to, because it gives us what we think is excuse to reject God.
Yes, and that's sad. Well, we're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, it feels like I've just started my questions. We'll be right back.
Now, where did I put my science book?
Hi, Carlos. What are you looking for?
My science book. The one with the picture of the moon on the front?
How can you find anything in that locker? It looks like something exploded in there.
Something did. My science project.
By the way, how's your praying going? God still ignoring you?
Actually, no. I did what you said and started listening after I pray. And I think he's given me some pretty good ideas.
Like what?
Well, last week, when my mom was sick, I asked God what to do to help her get better.
And?
And God gave me a really good thought.
Let me guess. He suggested that you not bug her all the time and let her rest?
Well, that might have worked too, but after I prayed, I thought about soup.
Soup?
Yeah, you know, soup. So I made some.
You made your mother something to eat?
Yep, I made her my famous Carlos stew.
You have a stew named after you?
Yes, it's all natural ingredients and comes in a can labeled tomato soup. I just added my secret ingredient, and she loved it.
Your secret ingredient being?
Crackers.
Carlos, that's tomato soup and crackers. There's nothing secret about that.
Ah, but when I gave it to her, I whispered, Mom, here's some soup to make you feel better. I made it myself, and I love you. She smiled and said thank you. Soon, she got better and told me that my Carlos stew was the best medicine there is.
Next time I get sick, you can make me some Carlos stew too. But you can leave out the I love you part. Just give me the soup.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. For more information, go to educationcurrents.org. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Tackett, and he has done this. Is it a documentary, or what is this type of genre? Is Genesis?
I would say it is. It's a documentary. Yes, it's a full featured film, but it's a documentary genre.
Yes, and I haven't told my audiences where they can go to see this. So they're sitting here on their on pins and needles, going, I want to see this.
Well, there are several ways they can do that. They can go to the website isgenesishistory.com, and they can order it in DVDs. They can order it in Blu-ray. And the Beyond Is Genesis History is now available on DVDs, which focuses on the fossils and the rocks, which covers the hours and hours of interviews we did with these scientists that never made the film. Or they can see the film on Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix.
Well, yes. So be sure and do that. Now, look, I know that my students have questions. Probably one of the questions that were asked most recently was, Dr. Gamlin, do you think dinosaurs really existed? And for whatever reason, you know, their family, to try to ensure the children were going to public school. They're now in a church school. But to ensure that they wouldn't be impacted by the study of dinosaurs, just told their children that there was no such thing as dinosaurs, and that was all part of the mirage of evolution.
Wow.
So I would like to hear your answer to that question. Are there dinosaurs, and how do they support creation?
Yes. Well, there are several reasons why, when we look in the fossil record, which I believe is the result of God's judgment on the world and the great Noahic flood, when the fountains of the deep burst open and the Lord, according to Peter, destroyed that world that was. Mm-hmm. And so we basically have these graveyards all over the world, massive, massive graveyards. And we can look at those bones and we can see at least the skeletal structures of those creatures that were buried. And one of those creatures, it's not one, there are a number of different kinds that we would call dinosaurs. These are, in most cases, large creatures, but the skeletal remains of those is pretty much indisputable. They're there.
Yes.
And you can see them. They've been reconstructed in many places. And so they did exist. They roamed the earth, and they were part of that world that was destroyed. And they were also part of the violence of that world, because God destroyed that world because of the violence and the evil that had come as a result of the fall upon all flesh. And that's why he destroyed all flesh. And when we look at the fossils, we can see teeth marks in the bones. You look at the ferocity that is exhibited by T-Rex, for example, and some of the other creatures. They're ferocious looking, and no doubt they were part of the violence that God destroyed. So, yes, they existed, and I think they were part of God's original creation, but the fall began to change things, and genetically, I think, creatures began to change more towards a violent form, all within their kind. They didn't change outside of their kind, but it's just like the original dog kind had the potential genetically to become a dachshund or a Great Dane, and that which is awesome and amazing to think that God gave that kind of genetic diversity within a creature that would allow it to adapt and to allow it to take different forms, but all the same. It's a dog is a dog.
Yes.
A cat is a cat, whether
it's
a leopard.
A human being is a human being.
That's exactly right.
But very diverse. No, not one of us looks like the other.
Yes. So the fossil record shows us a lot of kinds that have gone extinct, but they were part of that world that was destroyed, and one of those is the dinosaur kind.
Now, you mentioned something about soft tissue
in
a dinosaur or from a dinosaur.
Yes.
So what was that?
Well, this is an amazing discovery that has really kind of tossed the current scientific paradigm a really ringer here. It's several years ago, Dr. Schweitzer was at a dinosaur dig, and they accidentally broke a dinosaur bone. I think it was a T-Rex thigh bone, not the scientific word for it. And she smelled rotting, smelled something rotting. And they looked inside this bone, and they found material that was not fossilized. And she began to study it and wrote a paper. She said, this is dinosaur tissue that is still soft and viable in terms of being able to reproduce or so forth. But, well, a lot of people say, well, no, that's not dinosaur tissue. You know, that's some foreign bacteria or something got in there. So she did more research, and yes, it is. And now what we're finding is that is not an anomaly. They're finding soft dinosaur tissue and other dinosaur bones. So all of a sudden, we have to ask the question, if these bones are really 60, 70, 80 million years old, then how can this tissue still be
yes.
pliable? How can it still be here under the microscope to even see blood cells? These don't last that long.
Yes.
It's hard enough to think how they could last for several thousand years, but for millions of years. So now we have a very, very difficult issue that's
yes.
been raised in this whole area of study.
It's amazing. And I praise God. And I praise God for people like you that are willing to gather the material, the hours of interviewing scientists and travel. It certainly must have an impact on your family.
Well, it was a privilege, though.
And I don't want this show to go to end without talking a little bit about some of your other projects, like the engagement.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited about that. We are hoping to film this year the follow-on to the worldview teaching that I have done in the past, like the Truth Project and Cross-Examine, Who is Jesus? Even the Is Genesis History film. They're all worldview materials. And the engagement is basically the next step. It basically is saying, okay, once you have a biblical worldview, now what? How do we engage the world around us with a biblical worldview? I'm very excited about it. I'm more excited about this than I was for the Truth Project.
Praise God. So our listeners can go and they can see the other one that you mentioned.
The isgenesishistory.com, but they can also go to deltackett.com to follow the progress of the engagement and see the other biblical worldview material.
Yes, and a biblical worldview, you know, is a fast fading worldview in our time that we're trying to, by God's grace, revive.
Yes.
And you have done so much for that. Your family, how do they support you in this?
Well, they have been very supportive. My wife has just been incredible. I have been gone a lot. We joke sometimes, but when I'm home and I can go to church, I introduce myself to the pastor. and sometimes I'll come home and introduce myself to my wife. But she has been very gracious. Sometimes she can go on these trips with me, but these are not vacations.
Yes.
These are not trips that are just easy things. And so she has been very, very supportive. And, of course, it could not happen without that support. Absolutely not.
Yes, yes. Well, we've been talking about this. There's so many more questions I would like to ask as far as other proof, because I know my listeners want to know,
sure.
but I always like to leave them kind of wanting more.
And well, there's they can nothing, go to the website.
Yeah, there's nothing like actually seeing the video, Is Genesis History? Question mark. There's nothing like that. And actually getting it so that you can show it to your children and pause it and talk about
right.
it and take it to school and take it to church, because we want our kids to be equipped.
Mm. Yes,
with
we do.
How, you know, they have questions.
They do.
There's so much there. So thank you so much for spending this time with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
Amen.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.